on TSN 1260. It's a busy night in the NHL with 8 games as we bring in Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com. Adam, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm good, Mark. Good to talk to you.
No, thanks for taking some time today. We're going to get into some other stories around the NHL, but the one that's burning up in Canada and here on this show is Jerseygate in Toronto. You've been around the NHL a long time. Where do you stand on fans showing their frustration by either throwing a jersey on the ice or wearing a paper bag over their head?
Well, with the jersey thing, to me, I don't see it as something as an intelligent thing. I mean, how much does jerseys go for?
Yeah, exactly.
You're basically taking, you know, I think in the NHL store in New York there, the ones without the names are $125, $150. The personalized ones can be up to $275 or $300. You're just going to throw that in the garbage? That just, I don't care how much you hate your team or dislike the players. That's just stupid. Nope. I mean, if you want to just throw $300 in the garbage, I mean, give it to a charity. Yeah. So, you know, to do that, just from that standpoint alone, just makes no sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of people fed up, most notably in Toronto and Edmonton, but we'll see if anything does changes between those two teams. Well, let's get away from those. Let's talk about some action on the ice tonight. We've got a rivalry game in Philadelphia between the Penguins and Flyers. David Perron was traded from Edmonton to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, and it seems to be fitting in very nicely with this Penguins team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I talked to Mike Johnston and Gary Agnew and the Penguins assistant coach about David and how he fit. And Gary Agnew knew David when they were in St. Louis together. And he said, just from the way, you know, you look at his smarts, his skills in the offensive game and the way he could play a 200-foot game and kind of went in straight lines and just the hockey IQ, they thought he'd be a really good fit with Sidney Crosby. And certainly so far, 5 goals in 6 games, you can't really, you know, say anything about – you can't hope for any more than the production that they've gotten from David Perron. It's been – you know, he didn't really want to talk a whole lot about Edmonton and how things went there. He was very positive about the way things are in Pittsburgh now and how he hopes, you know, it's been a great start and he hopes it just continues.
Penguins are on the road taking on the Flyers tonight. It's been a good season for Pittsburgh so far, but it's been a struggle for the Flyers with only 18 wins, only 4 wins in their last 10. What's gone wrong with the Flyers in 2014-15?
Well, there's a number of things that really have kind of plagued this team, and it sort of starts on the defensive side. Their defense coming into the season really didn't look like it was going to be a playoff caliber defense. And then they go out and they lose Kimmo Tiimonen and right before training camp starts with blood clots in his lungs and his legs. And there was a little bit of good news late last week that the blood clots in his lungs have cleared, but they're still there in his legs. So they're not quite sure what his future, if he's going to be able to play again. It's a long shot, but he's been a big loss for them. And now Braden Coburn is out. Nick Grossman is out, and they're probably not going to have – they won't have Nick Schultz tonight, and they probably won't have Carlo Kolyakovo. So the 8 healthy defensemen they started the season with is now sort of in tatters. They called up Brandon Manning and Oliver Lauridsen from the American Hockey League. Those guys will probably play. That's really been the biggest problem for them. They're not a speedy defense. They're not a physical defense, and they're not particularly quick with getting the puck out of their zone. So – it's really hampered their transition game. And you know, you see that they've got Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek, 2 of the 5 top scorers in the league. And it's really amazing that those guys have been able to produce like that without really any help as far as breaking the puck out of their own and being able to catch a pass on the fly and to generate speed in the neutral zone. They sort of have to do everything themselves. So that's really been where the root of their problems is. And then you add in the fact that they haven't really had any consistent scoring behind Giroux and Voracek in that top line. You know, Wayne Simmonds has been very good on the power play. Scott Laughton, the rookie, came in and did a nice job before he got hurt. But they've really lacked for a secondary scoring, consistent secondary scoring behind Giroux and Voracek. So when you add those two things together, it's really been a struggle for the Flyers this year.
The Flyers lost yesterday to the Islanders. Rob Zepp got the start for that game. He's only started, I believe, this 6 or 7 games so far, but the 33-year-old made his NHL debut. He seems like the fans in Philadelphia are getting behind this guy, but is Rob Zepp the long-term answer in the pipes for the Flyers?
I think he's a long-term answer as the backup. I think there's a real good chance that, you know, depending on how Ray Emery plays, and it hasn't been good recently, you know, he's lost his last 5 decisions. He's got I believe an 840-something save percentage in his last, you know, 5 games. He has not been good, and he's really going to be in for a tough test tonight against the Penguins. He's going to start. I think Zepp has played well. You sort of take away that game yesterday on the island. He got kind of hung out to dry on a couple of those goals. Didn't have a lot of support in front of him. But when he has played, for the most part, he's played well. You know, he played well against Tampa. He played well in some of the other games that the Flyers maybe have not played well in. He was real good. Flyers lost 1-0 to Washington last week, and he was very good in that game. He looks to be a nice backup here for Steve Mason going forward, if that's the direction they choose to go. But, yeah, he's a wonderful story. You know, Philadelphia's the home of Rocky, and I think there's a lot of that Rocky underdog-type story here in Rob Zepp, and I think that's why the fans have sort of taken to him so much.
Adam, the Canadians are at home tonight hosting the Nashville Predators. It appears Carey Price is going to return to the crease for Montreal. When I made my playoff picks at the start of the year, I had Montreal as one of my top eight teams in the East, although I didn't have them in the top three in the Atlantic Division. As we're coming up on, I guess, the unofficial halfway point of the season, are the Canadians, is it a surprise to you that they sit where they are with 28 wins, one of the top teams in the East?
Yeah, I think it is because, you know, when you look at the team on paper, you kind of wondered where the consistent offense would come beyond, you know, Max Pacioretty. Could Alex Galchenyuk, you know, there was talk of moving him to center. How would that work? How would the dynamic, you know, would DeHarnay and Pacioretty and Gallagher, where would all the pieces fit? You knew P.K. Subban would be good, but where else would they get offense from? You know, Carey Price is going to make all the saves, but are you going to win games 1-0, 2-1? But, you know, somehow, some way, Michel Therrien's worked his magic, and it's really come together, and they've been, you know, a little bit of a surprise here that they're a top three team in the Atlantic, and they don't look like they're going to go anywhere. I don't see them regressing to the point where, you know, a team behind them is going to really be able to jump up and catch them with any kind of ease. So I think Montreal's in good shape. They're in good position. If they're able to stay healthy and kind of stay on the pace they're on, I think they have a chance to get, you know, not just get to the plus, maybe make some noise once they get there.
Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com joins us as we're talking all things NHL right now. The Bruins are hanging on to that final wildcard spot in the East with 54 points. The Panthers are 4 points behind. Do you think the Panthers, they have two games in hand on Boston as well. Are the top eight seeds, you think, going to stay the same, or do you think there's any chance that Florida can overtake either Boston or Washington for that final wildcard spot in the East?
I think they could. You know, I think Boston, you kind of wonder where they are right now. What kind of team are they, and can the key guys stay healthy for long stretches here? You know, Boston's really been hampered by David Krejci not being 100%. Their blue line's been banged up. You know, Milan Lucic doesn't seem to be the same Milan Lucic we're used to seeing. And they've really done a great job in Florida. You know, give Gerard Gallant a lot of credit. He's taken these young guys and given them a lot of confidence. And, you know, they've proved it on the ice that they're a team that can beat any of the elite teams on any given night. And certainly having Roberto Luongo back there helps clear up a lot of mistakes. But, you know, give Gallant credit. I think, you know, at this rate, I think he'll be a finalist. He's looking like he's going to be a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, but the job he's done there, you know. But having Luongo there for a full season and the way this young group has kind of developed, it really is a testament to Gallant and, you know, the way he's led this team.
Taking a look now at the Western Conference, as Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com joins us. The Calgary Flames won a very good game last night against the LA Kings, an intense game back and forth in overtime. The Flames hanging on to the final wildcard spot out west. Are the Calgary Flames legit? Can they hang on to that final spot?
You know, I think they might be. It's going to be hard to see. It depends sort of how their goaltending goes. You know, Yoni Ordeo has come up and done a real nice job. You know, Jonas Hiller is a guy that, you know, he's a known commodity, but, you know, can between those two guys, can they do enough? I mean, it's hard to imagine that LA sitting outside the playoff race now is going to stay there. I mean, they're defending cup champions that with almost the same roster from last year. You have to think they're going to make a move here somewhere, but, you know, it's hard to see Winnipeg or Calgary dropping back, because especially Winnipeg's been very good. Calgary, they had that great start. They kind of tailed off there a little bit in December, but now they've seemed to have sort of righted the ship here. They've won 7 of their last 10. You know, I think they're definitely for real. I think getting into the West and staying there is incredibly difficult. You know, you look at L.A., you look at Dallas, even Colorado's kind of seems to maybe have things pointed the right direction. It's going to be a really fun ride here the last, you know, 35 games or so to see who is able to kind of get into that hunt and then stay there.
Adam, the Oilers are in Washington tonight to take on the Capitals. This is Barry Trotz's first season in Washington. By all reports coming out of D.C., you notice a difference in Alex Ovechkin and how the Capitals play. Have you noticed a major difference in Washington now that Barry Trotz is running the team?
I think there's just a lot more structure to their game on all ends of the ice, especially on the defensive end. But they just they look like there's a – not that maybe there wasn't before, but I think there's – you know, there's something to be said for having a veteran coach there. When Jordan McPhee was the general manager, every coach he hired had been a coach who had never coached in the NHL before. You go back to Glenn Hanlon and Butch Cassidy and Bruce Boudreau and Adam Oates. None of these guys had NHL head coaching experience. Well, Barry Trotz has that, and as much as any other coach in the league. So there's a respect factor, I think, that comes with him. And when he says, do it this way because here's my track record of it working when we did it this way. And there's really no room for the players in Washington to argue or think otherwise. He says it works, then it's going to work. We need to do this way. And now they're seeing the results. You know, they're tied with they have the same number of points as the Rangers for third place in the Metropolitan Division. So right now they're in the first wild card spot. You know, it's just, you see a much more, you know, it's hard to say an intelligent game, but a much more structured, much better developed game plan in Washington. That's really what stands out.
Adam, it's been a rough eight and a half years here for Oiler fans. From someone on the outside, how do you view the way the season has gone for the Edmonton Oilers so far?
Well, I think it's been disappointing. You keep hoping for a couple of these younger guys to step up and, you know, kind of drag the team along with them, whether it's Taylor Hall or Jordan Eberle or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but, you know, defensively, it continues to be an issue. And goaltending, you know, they thought they were going to be in good shape with Ben Scrivens and Victor Foss, but it just hasn't worked out that way. I think there's hope. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to go on some run and eke out a wild card spot this year, obviously. But, you know, I think you're going to get another high draft pick this year. Everyone got to see what Darnell Nurse is capable of at the World Juniors. You just have to think that there's promise and there's hope and there's something coming along in the pipeline that it's not going to happen this year. It probably won't happen next year. But 2 years from now, 3 years from now, there's no reason to think this team can't be competing, you know, for a while, for one of the wild card spots. I mean, there's just too much talent there. Eventually, you know, they're going to figure it out, get things turned around. Todd Nelson has seemingly, you know, at least brought a little bit more something different to that team where there seems to be maybe a little bit more going on there than there was under Dallas Eakins. So maybe, you know, things are sort of pointed the right way. It might not look like it now, but I think there's hope there. And, you know, again, you get the number one or the number two picks and you're guaranteed of getting one of these sensational 18-year-old players, either Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel. And I've seen them both play, and both guys have the look of franchise cornerstone, number one center, dynamic players.
Adam, if Oilers owner Daryl Cates hired you to be general manager today, who would you select first overall in this summer's draft? Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel?
I go Connor McDavid just because I've watched, you know, having watched both guys, you know, off and on, you know, last year, last summer, this summer, World Juniors, I just see a little bit more of the vision, a little bit more of the explosive skating from McDavid. He's very close. Both guys have the looks of being outstanding players. I think right now, if, you know, I had to go A or B, I go McDavid, but both guys really look like they're, as you know, you hate to say they're can't miss prospects because anybody's capable of missing, but those guys look about as close to being, you know, NHL ready future stars as you're going to get.
Adam, great stuff. I appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Anytime, Mark.